The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 to 15. Matthew 11, 7 to 15. You can find that on page 976. Starting at verse 7. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear."
Nelson, thank you for reading. If you just turn over your notice sheet, if I may, I draw your attention to the Christianity Explained course starting this Thursday. It's really a great opportunity to come and hear the claims of Jesus explained clearly over 6 weeks in a small group where you can ask any question you like and you might find a good answer. Christianity Explained, you'll see there are little leaflets here like that at the back by the door as you go out. And you might like to bring a friend with you, or come yourself. Do please take hold of that. And then to advertise The Laughing God, a set of tapes, Richard Kochen speaking here just over the last few weeks. They're available in rather a natty new tape cassette box that they now have up at the tape ministry. Well worth getting and listening to. Taking home, playing to your family, and so on. Let's pray, shall we? And then we'll study God's word together. Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." We praise you, our Father God, that you are a speaking God, that you have spoken through your prophets, through Jesus Christ, and now that you speak through your Spirit. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would address us personally today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, the idea that history has a turning point, I don't think is a very difficult concept for us to grasp hold of. Many of us will be able to pinpoint specific events and dates in our own personal histories where on which we could say everything has turned. Maybe a birth or a death, the beginning of a relationship, the end of a relationship, maybe something to do with a career. Miss Stella Young, aged 44, whose boyfriend Richard Wicks, a member of the Dangerous Sports Club, catapulted her yesterday 150 feet into the air at 50 miles an hour, can certainly say there is an event on which a whole future has turned. She bounced out of the net, fell 30 feet to the ground, shattering her pelvis, and her boyfriend says she will make a full recovery, but she's made it quite clear she won't be doing it again. Now, we may not have events quite like that on which we can say everything has turned, but I guess all of us can point to events where we could say, well, things turned on that. The coming down of the Berlin Wall is a national, or rather international, event like that. You remember those communities severed by the wall? And then brought together after its breakdown, well, really, things could never be the same. Maybe the fall of Margaret Thatcher is an event like that for you, or perhaps the election of Ken Livingstone. But all of us are familiar with that kind of idea, that history turns on events, and that before that event, things might be one way, and after that event, they might be another way. So I don't think the lesson that Jesus has for us today should be too hard a concept for us to get hold of, for history does have turning points, and all of us are aware of that. And Jesus is challenging us in verse 15, if you have a look at it in our reading, to think hard about a particular historical turning point, and that is his arrival on earth. And really there is just one big point for us today, and that is that Jesus is the one on whom the whole of history turns, and on whom every individual's destiny hangs. And Jesus is making the point through John the Baptist. He's asking us to analyze the ministry of John the Baptist, the great forerunner of Christ, and to realize that John the Baptist is pointing to him as the turning, the key, the turning point of history. So first he asks us to look at the Baptist himself in verses 7 and 8. Then he wants us to listen to Jesus as he explains the Baptist's significance. And finally he wants us to learn from history, from the sequel to the Baptist ministry. So first, let's look at the Baptist status and see that the Baptist really is somebody who we ought to listen to this lunchtime, who we ought to go away thinking about, and if we have ears to hear, who we need to grasp hold of. And the point Jesus is making is that John clearly was a prophet speaking God's word. Verse 7, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out in the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothing? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. In other words, why did you pack up your Vauxhall estate, load the kids in, take 6 months of provisions, the microwave, the carry cot, the baby and everything else, and head out into the desert to listen to the John the Baptist if he didn't have something very serious to say to you? You wouldn't have gone if he wasn't a prophet, is what Jesus is saying to this crowd, all of whom, or many of whom, would have been impacted by the ministry of John. Do you see, he's appealing to the historical experience of these people and saying, what did you leave Jerusalem for? If John was just like any other bloke. You can see that from verse 7. Did you go to see a reed swayed by the wind? You see, if John was just a man-pleasing, reactive vote-seeker, all spin and no substance, listening to the focus groupies and dancing to their tune, well, they wouldn't have dreamt of going to listen to him, would they? There were plenty of those to listen to back in Jerusalem. And then if John had been a fine dressed in fine clothes, that is, kitted out by Herod as a puppet in the royal court, well, they would never have gone to listen to him. Now, the reason they went to listen to John was that he was the first man for 400 years from God speaking the word of God. The status of John. Look at it. Think about it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. As you head back to the office, mull over the status of John. He must have been someone enormously significant. Josephus, the non-Christian, the Jewish writer, speaks of John. His impact was huge. He had a key lesson for us, a message from God. Think of his status. But then Jesus moves on, because he wants us to realize that we have a lesson to learn from John. And so now he asks us to think about the significance of John. We've looked at his status. Now he wants us to look at John's significance. What was it that was so significant about John? Thousands went to listen to him. They emptied Jerusalem. They sent down the political bigwigs and the theologians. What was it that he was saying? Well, that brings us then to the central point, that John pointed to Jesus and announced Jesus as the turning point of history, the figure at the center of human history. That is, that John was, a human signpost appointed by God and sent by him to announce the arrival of his king. There we are in verse 9 and verse 10. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Well, now, you can see that is a quote from the Old Testament. It comes from 10 or so pages earlier, on page 961. So if you would turn back to that. For 400 years or so before the arrival of John the Baptist, Malachi, in the Old Testament, was prophesying. And he was prophesying about the arrival of God's king, God's ruler, God's Lord. Chapter 3, verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to the temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Now, do you see, Malachi, speaking before John's arrival, had a message from God. And the message from God was, I will send a messenger ahead of my own personal visit to earth as Lord, and that messenger will come to prepare the way before me. And you can see it repeated in chapter 4, verse 5, where in Malachi 4, 5, Malachi tells Israel that God will send the prophet Elijah, that's one like the prophet Elijah, who will come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So do you see the point of what Jesus quoting from Malachi? He is saying, look, John the Baptist is this messenger who has come to prepare for the arrival of God himself on earth, namely me. So Jesus' point in verses 9 and 10 is not actually a point about John the Baptist, it's a point about himself. That John the Baptist acted as a human signpost pointing to Jesus as the turning point of history. And that's why in verse 13, Jesus says that following John the Baptist, well, there's no need for further prophets. Do you see verse 13? For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. But of course, once John has come and pointed out Jesus Christ physically on earth, there's no need for any further prophets because the King has come, the Lord has arrived. We have reached the turning point of history. I don't know if you were, fortunate is quite the right word, but I don't know if you were fortunate enough to be down at in Greenwich on the 31st of December, 1999, at the great unveiling. You may remember that prior to the opening of the dome, we were given all sorts of snippets, weren't we, of information about it. So there were various carefully controlled press releases and so on. And then, I think it was October, November, something like that, the place actually opened, but we didn't know what exactly was going to be in it. And then on the 31st of December 1999, then there was the great opening. Following which, of course, there was no need for any further snippets and unveilings and new bits of information. Because if you wanted to know what the dome was like, if you wanted to experience it, well, you could actually go down and see it for yourself. You won't have to queue. you don't even have to book. There's going to be plenty of room for you. You see, the point? Up until the opening of the dome, well, yes, then you need information and so on and so forth, but once it's open, there's no further need of any prophet looking forward, because it's actually arrived. The turning point has come, where you can now go and experience it for yourself. So you see, we've looked at the status of the Baptist. He is a prophet from God, speaking God's word. Now we see his significance. More than a prophet, he actually identifies Jesus Christ himself and says, well, now you can come to him. There's no need of any further prophets. For if you want to know the kingdom rule of Jesus Christ, here he is. You can experience it. We have reached the turning point of history. So that is John's significance. He is one who signs up the arrival of the great king. And following the arrival of the great king, then the great invitation of this chapter of verse 28 is there for any one of us to listen to and to respond to. Come to me, come to Jesus, for the turning point of history has arrived. God's king has come to earth. We can know him and know his kingdom rule for ourselves. This weekend I watched Steven Spielberg's film Saving Private Ryan for the first time, which is why I'm slightly shell-shocked and rather pale this morning. It is a quite outstanding work, isn't it, alongside Schindler's List, and it is extremely moving in all sorts of different ways. But do you remember the scene right at the end where Private James Francis Ryan stands in the war cemetery surrounded by his family, wife, children, grandchildren, now an elderly man? And as the camera pans out over a vast sea of crosses, as far as the eye can see, Ryan has pinpointed one grave in particular. It's the memorial to Captain Miller, played by Tom Hanks, who had given his life for Ryan. One man, one life, one death, one sacrifice that impacted the whole of Ryan's days, such that he could never live life in the same way following that particular turning point. And Spielberg's point really can't be missed. Spielberg, I think, sees himself as something of a signpost to our generation. He is pointing to a particular moment in history. He is appealing to us to look at a particular set of events, after which a whole generation and future generations should never live in the same way again. And that Schindler's List and Now Private Ryan, I think, act as a sort of pair of films to point us to this turning point. Well, it's not hard to miss the significance, is it, of what Spielberg is doing. Jesus' appeal to us this afternoon and on into the remainder of this week and so on is to listen to the significance of John the Baptist, who points us to one man, one life, one death, one sacrifice, one ruler, standing at the center of history. That's his significance. The king has come. His kingdom is here. Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. The status, the significance. I don't know where you stand. I mean, we always have lots of visitors in here on a Tuesday. Maybe you've never actually looked and listened. Maybe you haven't taken verse 15 seriously. You have not heard the message of John the Baptist. You have not actually examined the person of Jesus. You don't realize that he stands at the center of history. And I want to encourage you this afternoon to come and do this Christianity Explained course that I was talking about earlier. To set aside Tuesday lunchtime. 25 minutes in a week, far more significant than a workout in the gym or another deal. For Jesus Christ stands at the center of history, and he wants us to learn the significance of what the Baptist is saying. But then, for us who perhaps have been going along as Christians for a little while, this third point, you see, I think is very significant. Because having appealed to us to listen to the significance of the Baptist, he now appeals us to learn from the sequel to John's ministry, and that is in verses 11 and 12. Now, these are quite tricky verses. We're going to have to gather our wits for the last few minutes as we work out what verses 11 and 12 have for us, but they are very important. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing forcefully, and forceful men lay hold of it. Now, one initial reading of these verses makes it look as if Jesus is making a comparison between the spiritual standing of John and his forebears and the spiritual standing of John and us who follow. So just have a look at verse 11. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John. Might make us think that he's saying, well, John is spiritually greater than all who've come before him. And then the least who comes after John is spiritually greater. Do you see how you might read it like that? I've tried teaching it like that, and let me tell you, it ties you in all sorts of knots. For it poses all sorts of difficult questions about whether or not John is in God's kingdom as Jesus speaks and so on and so forth. You really are tied up in the most terrible knots. In preparation for this over this week, I came across Don Carson's comments on it in his magnificent commentary, where he encourages us to read verse 11 consistently right the way through. Now, listen carefully as we seek to do that. Among those born of women, there has not yet risen anyone greater than John, for he is more than a prophet. He not only speaks about Jesus, but he actually points Jesus out for us. Yet, a person who is least in the kingdom of heaven, following the arrival of Jesus, is greater than the Baptist, for the person who lives after the arrival of Jesus is able to speak even more clearly than John. For we live in the light of the life of Jesus. We're not just looking forward and we're not just identifying him and pointing him out. We actually live in the light of all that he's done. His birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his rule. And therefore, even if you have been a Christian for one day, you are able to speak more clearly of Jesus Christ than even John the Baptist. For we have this magnificent message of Jesus made more clear because he's come, he's spoken, he's lived. And therefore we can witness and explain clearly about Jesus. And therefore, verse 12, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the rule of Jesus has been expanding as the least have spoken of Jesus and of his rule, as individuals have witnessed to Jesus, so his rule has expanded across the world. And those who have spoken have faced great opposition. Now, do you see that Jesus is wanting us to learn here a lesson from history? You may not be convinced by the status of John the Baptist. You may want to go away and think about that. You may not be convinced by the significance of John the Baptist. You may want to go away and think about that. But at least will you learn from the sequel to John the Baptist, the fact that following the arrival of Jesus, there has been this vast global expansion of the news of the rule of Jesus Christ. Now, that was certainly true from the perspective of the crowds who were listening to Jesus as he spoke. Jesus had just sent out his apostles and they had proclaimed the rule of Christ. And the kingdom rule of Jesus had advanced across Judea. That is certainly so as we look at the perspective of the early church. The early church was persecuted most horribly. But as these young Christians spoke clearly about Jesus Christ, the kingdom rule of Jesus spread from individual to individual to individual, right the way across the Mediterranean. If you have any history up your sleeve at all, you'll know that was certainly true of the 16th century reformers as they proclaimed the truth of the rule of Jesus Christ. And if you know anything about the last century, sort of 1890 through to 19 whatever, you will know that that is true of our world. That one man, or rather 16 individuals, taking the message of Jesus out to Kenya in 1896, now spreads to over 1 million in Kenya, believing in the rule of Jesus Christ and living under it. That 7 men going to China at the end of the 19th century, now has spread to over 60 or 80 million believers in China. So do you see, if you won't learn from the status of the Baptist, or you won't listen to the significance of the Baptist, at least learn from the events of history that following the Baptist, the sequel to his ministry has been the rapid and magnificent advance of the rule of Jesus. But do you see that verse 15 therefore contains a great challenge and a great encouragement for us then if we are Christian? If you're here as somebody who's not a Christian today, if you're thinking about it, well, think about the significance of the Baptist. Jesus is the turning point of history. But if we're here this afternoon as a Christian, will we allow the challenge of verse 15 to sink in and impact us? For even if we are the least in God's kingdom, even if we are the most timid, retiring, and shy individual in the city, we have a greater ability to proclaim Jesus Christ even than John the Baptist, that great one. For we have all the events of the life of Jesus. We can point to him as the turning point of history. We can speak of him with clarity and assurance and certainty. For following the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, this turning point of history has impacted us. We know Jesus. And therefore Jesus says we are greater than the Baptist himself. Well, I want to ask whether you're making the most of that privilege, just as I ask myself that question. Don't be surprised. Forceful men will oppose it. There will be great opposition. We mustn't be surprised at that. Great hostility. But we have a great opportunity here in the city in our generation to proclaim Jesus Christ as the turning point. Let's pray together. he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than the Baptist. Our Father God, we praise you for this great news that your King Jesus has come, that he offers us a place in his kingdom, that he asks us to come to him, to learn from him. And we pray that you would equip and enable us to announce him and proclaim him and point to him in whatever way is suitable for us as an individual. Please give us the strength, the ability, the sense of the privilege and the opportunity, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.